approved abortion by mail based on data it admitted was, quote, not adequate. That violates the APA. The lower court's decision merely restored longstanding and crucial protections under which millions of women used abortion drugs. We've heard a lot this morning about standing. Article 3 is satisfied here because, one, the FDA relies on OB hospitalists to care for women harmed by abortion drugs. Two, the FDA concedes that between 2.9 and 4.6% of women will end up in the emergency room. And three, the FDA acknowledges that women are even more likely to need surgical intervention and other medical care without an in-person visit.
All right, so this is Erin Hawley. She's the lawyer representing the respondents in the case before the Supreme Court dealing with the question of whether the FDA erred in liberalizing the rules regarding the abortion drug mifepristone, the one that allows you to take basically it's a two-pill protocol, mifepristone being the first one, two-pill protocol that produces an abortion up to 7 weeks, previously up to 10 weeks under the new rules without a doctor's consultation, without having to see a doctor, basically over the counter or through the mail, was the big change after years of deciding that it was essentially safe and that it did not produce enough health complications to justify the inconvenience of having to find or pay for a doctor to prescribe it. 3%-ish of the abortions continue or do not terminate properly, and sometimes those produce emergency room visits, which means that doctors then have to take care of finishing the process begun by the mifepristone. And if those doctors are pro-life, they might have and do have sometimes conscience objections to having participate in the any part of the process of securing, producing, or finishing an abortion again begun by the drug. That's the argument by the respondents. And as you heard her say, a lot of talk in this case, not about what the FDA did particularly, but about whether the respondents even have standing. As Ketanji Brown Jackson even said at one point, summarizing it, the issue is,
I guess I see it that the injuries that the respondents allege, as you've articulated them, are conscience injury, that they are being forced to participate in a medical procedure that they object to. And so the obvious common sense remedy would be to provide them with an exemption, that they don't have to participate in this procedure. And you say, and you've said here several times, that federal law already gives them that. So I guess then what they're asking for in this lawsuit is more than that. They're saying because we object to having to be forced to participate in this procedure, we're seeking an order preventing anyone from having access to these drugs at all. And I guess I'm just trying to understand how they could possibly be entitled to that given the injury that they have alleged.
And that's the whole question, is are they ever actually having to participate in this? Even if they do, because when you're in the ER, you don't necessarily have the ability to, you know, scrub up, go in, see the woman, discover, oh, that's a result of the FDA making it easier to get a hold of mifepristone. I'm not participating in this. Or that's a result of mifepristone under the old way of getting it. Or that's a result of inadequately performed surgical abortion previous. You know, there's all kinds of things you might discover. And it's too late at that point because you've got to save somebody's life. I'm basically about as pro-life as they come, okay? I mean, I suppose there are some people who are even more adamant about pro-life causes than I am. But I'm pretty, you know, on the spectrum. I'm pretty far to the right. And I think this is not a good case. I do not think these doctors have this protection because I don't think the harm is likely. They weren't able to show that it's ever actually happened. And it's a weird one, too, because if you're there saving somebody's life as a result of something she did that you think is morally objectionable, it doesn't make you a participant in the morally objectionable thing. It makes you a participant in saving life. So I'll be honest, I don't fully even understand. Now, I don't have to understand somebody's conscience objection in order to believe they have a right to hold that objection. But even as a pro-lifer, I find this objection very, very weird. And Ketanji Brown Jackson asks the question, well, has anybody ever actually had to do this? Because remember, it's not enough to just show that you oppose abortion. The issue here is opposing the slight or incremental change in the availability of this particular drug, producing a woman in your emergency room that you then have to finish the procedure on and make you a participant in the grave moral evil of performing an abortion. That's the argument.
I mean, can you point me to any place in the declarations where a declarant states that they attempted to object but were unable to?
No, Your Honor, for two reasons. One, these are emergency situations. Respondent doctors don't necessarily know until they scrub into that operating room whether this may or may not be abortion drug harm. It could be a miscarriage, it could be an ectopic pregnancy, or it could be an elective abortion, Your Honor.
And that's been, you know, their argument is it might show up, basically. Well, it's not much of a harm. Because remember, in order to sue against a change in a regulation, you have to prove that you were harmed by it. And but the harms in this case are so weird. Like, one of the harms is institutional standing, in that these doctors are part of organizations that lobby against abortion liberalization, and that they had to divert effort in order to oppose this particular change after it was passed by the FDA, and that that's a harm to them. I mean, if that's a harm, then every interest organization out there, every political action committee or, you know, anybody who does political activism is potentially a harm recipient for any change in policy that they disagree with, whether it's the change of gun regulations for an anti-gun group or a pacifist group, or whether it's a change in carbon emissions for a global climate change group. I mean, it's like, if you grant standing to these doctors, even though these doctors are like on my side of the ideological line, if you grant standing to these doctors, you grant standing and the ability to bring lawsuits to thousands of other people in cases that really should not have standing. So I was not surprised that the justices focused so heavily on the question of standing. Ketanji Brown Jackson, Elena Kagan, Sonia Sotomayor, no surprise there. But even Gorsuch was skeptical. Barrett was skeptical. I think they're going to almost certainly rule on standing that these doctors do not have it. And I think that's likely to be a 7-2, maybe an 8-1. I think Alito is going to go the other way, but we'll see. He might even go. It might be a 9-0. Jake has got our traffic on the fives. Jake?
All right. If you're on I-10 westbound coming out of Milton this morning, right at the Blackwater River Bridge, we've got some construction going on. We have the left lane closed. It's got traffic backed up as you start to get toward Ward Basin Road coming out of Milton this morning. Also, just in off the traffic tip line, the front gate traffic at NAS is backed up to Sunset at the moment. Otherwise, around town, we're looking pretty good. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre, no issues there. Mobile Highway is clear through Beulah, no delays on Burgess or Olive. Highway 29 is accident-free from the Atmore Cutoff in Molino through Cantonment. We're looking good from 12th Avenue through to Palafox and W Street, and no slowdowns on Cervantes. If you see anything else out there on the roadway slowing you down, you can always call or text our traffic tip line. That phone number is 437-1620. This traffic report is brought to you by Barbary Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the bay winner, Barbary Plumbing, at 477-8782. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you've been putting off the really the opportunity to get a better car because you've been, you know, you don't like buying a new car, you find it inconvenient, you're worried that it's going to cost you more money, or just, you know, the hassle of it all, or because you take pride in keeping a car longer than you should. Guilty. for me anyway, go to Frontier Motors. Listen, you shouldn't be embarrassed or worried about your car, right? Neither one is a healthy thing. So also, the longer you keep a car, the more you spend money on repairing it because you've already sunk money. You put good money after bad and you keep putting money into it thinking you're saving money. But it could be you're putting so much money it's actually cheaper to buy a newer car. You know, something that's got a few thousand miles on it, 10 or 15,000 miles on it, it's going to be reliable for you for years and years, not cost you money every single month or every other month when you're trying to, you know, put a $500 or $1,000 repair into it. So go to Frontier and go look around and see what's available. You might discover that, no, it's cheaper to keep what you got. You might discover it's actually less expensive to buy something that they've got. And you might fall in love with it and find that it's more enjoyable to drive a car that you're not worried about all the time. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Do you ever find yourself overwhelmed by anxiety? Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Did you ever notice the three levels in that verse? Thoughts, emotions, and behavior? The verse is saying that our thinking will impact our emotions or heart, and then our behavior when it says, "So is he." Our anxiety problems start with what we think about, and then impact our emotions, and then ultimately determine our behavior. I encourage you to discipline your mind to stop thinking about things that are untrue, unjust, and impure, and start thinking about things that are true and just and pure. You'll find that much of your anxiety will be gone and your emotions will be healthy, and then your behavior will be Christ-like.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Veris Health Partners knows there are plenty of options when it comes to insurance. Owners Pam and Keith Giles will help guide you to choose the best plans for you and your family. As a veteran-owned independent health and life agency in Pensacola, their clients range from moms and dads on Medicare to individuals, families, business owners, and veterans who are looking for answers. They are researchers, educators, and advocates who take pride in guiding clients to become smart healthcare shoppers. Contact them at verishp.com. Veris Health Partners.
I occasionally have nerve discomfort in my hands, so the things I love to do,
let's play something, Grandma,
became difficult as I got older.
If you have occasional stabbing and burning in your hands and feet, try Nervive Nerve Relief. Nervive's clinically studied dose of alpha lipoic acid reduces occasional nerve discomfort in as little as 7 days with continued daily use. Say yes to healthy nerves with Nervive Nerve Relief.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us this Friday as we detail what's going on in your city parks and resource centers.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
It's News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, the website, the app, or your smart device. It's news on your terms.
And did I cry?
No.
No! No! And you know why?
No.
Because there's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in baseball! No crying!
Let's do it.
Well, four presidents visited New York City at the same time on Thursday, three to do a joint fundraiser at Radio City, and one selling Bibles door to door.
Come on now.
Donald Trump has partnered with country music star Lee Greenwood to sell a $60 special edition of the Bible that also includes the Constitution, the lyrics to Greenwood's God Bless the USA, and I assume God's letter of resignation.
Oh, man. Update is the best part of SNL. The open was, it was okay. But update is always good. I will tell you that they do take more digs and jabs at President Trump, of course. But they don't entirely let Biden off the hook. I'll give you one more of their Trump lines first.
Trump also posted this video urging his followers to buy it.
All Americans need a Bible in their home, and I have many.
Many. I actually believe he has many Bibles. I'm sure he's been sent thousands of Bibles with a note that says, please read this.
So then the Biden trade, and it's always Michael Che typically who makes fun of Joe Biden.
More than 5,000 people attended a Democratic fundraiser at Radio City Music Hall featuring big-name celebrities like Barack Obama, Stephen Colbert, and Lizzo, as well as lesser-known celebrities like President Joe Biden.
And Governor DeSantis got into the update, which he often does.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, seen here remembering his presidential campaign, signed a bill that will ban social media accounts for younger teenagers. But Florida's older teenagers can keep their social media accounts because they need a place to post their sonograms.
Oh, man. Wow.
It's not fair, but it's funny. It's not fair, but it's funny. 725 on, maybe it's fair. 725 on News Radio 92.3 and 4. We got into SNL a lot, you know? Clearwater got name-checked by the opening with Trump on the mission trips and to Mexico. And then, anyway, you know you're doing something if they're making fun of you, right?
Right.
Of course, Not always good. 725 on News Radio 92.3. Jake's got a traffic on the fives. Jake?
If you're on I-10 westbound this morning coming out of Milton, when you get to the Blackwater River Bridge, we've got road construction there. It's got the left lane closed this morning. It's got traffic backed up all the way past Ward Basin Road. We also got a tip on our traffic tip line here that the front gate traffic at NAS is backed up to Sunset. Otherwise, looking around town here, Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre is flowing smoothly. Highway 29 south through Cantonment and Inslee, no problems there. No delays on Burgess or Olive. Lillian, Jackson, Navy, New Warrington, all accident-free. And looks like no slowdowns on Cervantes, and Bayfront Parkway is showing no delays. If you do see anything out there on our roadways, let us know about it. 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. 726 here on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, a man's in custody after allegedly ramming his car into a security gate at an FBI office in Georgia. Officials say the suspect was trying to follow another vehicle to get through the gate and enter the facility, but the security measures were able to stop him. Former President Trump is on the campaign trail today. He'll be speaking in downtown Grand Rapids, Michigan. He'll also be in Green Bay, Wisconsin later today. And Maryland Governor Wes Moore says progress is being made in the effort to clear all the debris from the Port of Baltimore shipping channel after the bridge collapse. He says crews are dealing with a project of enormous scale.
They cut up and lifted a piece of the north section of the Key Bridge. The entire operation took 10 hours, and in that time, they were able to cut and lift a 200-ton span.
And yesterday afternoon, the tugboat Crystal Coast was able to move through the channel, pushing a barge to supply jet fuel for the Department of Defense at Dover Air Force Base, and that was the first vessel that was able to use the channel since the bridge collapse. They're currently working on a second channel as well.
Yeah, it was one of the reports said that they've got about an 11-foot deep channel cut for just basically barge, you know, minor barge traffic. That's interesting because I had heard that it was only for bridge reconstruction repair, but you're telling me they actually did fuel that they moved through there.
That,
which, yeah. And of course, you know, trucking can go in and out of the port, so the idea that the port is closed is not quite right, but you know, obviously the primary way is to get them on and off of boats, which they haven't been able to do, so they're you know, moving all of that stuff around in other ways. By the way, the guys who are on what is the name of the ship? I suddenly can't think of it. The Dino, right? No, that's not right. Anyway,
I can't remember.
They're stuck on it.
Really?
There's like 23, I think, people that are on that ship, and they're just there waiting. I mean, they would have been on it a long time to begin with, of course, you know,
right,
with the ship, but still. And they're going to have to get, you know, lift the bridge pieces off of that ship, and then they're going to have to take some of the cargo off of that ship somehow, or then they're going to figure out if that ship is, you know, seaworthy, which I probably is. But, you know, that's going to be a question. Then they're going to put it back to the port and offload it and whatever. But I guess they're stuck on board there until they get all this resolved. Not quite sure why, but they are, you know, so it's vacation time for them? I don't know. David, thanks so much for the update. 728 here on News Radio 92.3. Oregon has recriminalized drug possession. They tried that experiment. It failed terribly. Deaths from overdoses and massive use of newly decriminalized drugs in Oregon, my former state before I moved here, you know, 10 years ago. You know, I knew this was coming. I knew this was going to be a catastrophe. I'm at least glad that they've reversed themselves. Hey, that's the advantage of having 50 different states. It can try their own rules. Sometimes you try when you're like, whoa, no, we're going to do that. Meanwhile, Florida might allow recreational pot use on the ballot. We don't learn the lesson. But whatever. You know, I knew this was coming. We've said this for years and years, that medical marijuana was merely the prelude or precursor to trying again and again and again until they can get it to legalize personal recreational amounts of marijuana. That was approved by the Supreme Court yesterday. One of their big rulings yesterday. The other two, of course, had to do with abortion. This one says that that is indeed a single subject amendment, and it's going to be allowed on the ballot. The other one is that the abortion limit up to 24 weeks without any other qualifying factors, as in on demand, or up to the time of birth with a doctor's note, basically, that will go on the ballot as well. I think both, I don't want either one of these to pass, but, and I generally don't like ballot initiatives. I think it's a terrible way to govern, but these both should be on the ballot. based on the process that we have on hand. I think they should both be on the ballot. And then, of course, Supreme Court ruling that the privacy amendment that was put in 1980 does not have to do with abortion, reversing a previous Supreme Court ruling and showing why that previous Supreme Court ruling by the Florida State Supreme Court was completely misguided, and it was. And that means that the 15-week ban is still in place, and in 30 days, the 6-week ban will go into effect here in the state of Florida. We'll talk to Chip Simmons, the Escambia Sheriff, coming up next.
I'm CJ Papa. Former President Trump writes the check $175 million bond in his New York civil fraud case so he can appeal the ruling against him. Plus, it prevents the New York Attorney General, Letitia James, from seizing his property. Meanwhile, he's on the road today.
Trump will hit the campaign trail again today with stops in Michigan and Wisconsin, reaching out to disaffected voters on issues like immigration and the border. Meanwhile, we don't have any public events we expect from the president, but if we see him, we'll give him a question or two if he'll talk to us.
White House saying this morning President Biden will travel to Wisconsin and Illinois next Monday, April 8th, stopping in Madison and Chicago. One boy killed, two others seriously wounded in a school shooting in southern Finland. Authorities say the shooter and all the victims are 12 years old. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 72 right now. Kind of a cloudy morning here in Pensacola today. Daphne, police say they're looking for a Pensacola man in connection to a murder that took place over the weekend. 23-year-old Joseph Gurley is wanted. They say he should be considered armed and dangerous.
We've, of course, reached out to some neighboring agencies where he's been in trouble before to, you know, run down some addresses and that sort of thing. So it's definitely a community effort and law enforcement community effort in trying to locate him.
And police say on Sunday morning they found two shooting victims in an apartment at Abaddon Park, and one victim died at the scene. Another was taken to the hospital. Gurley had been arrested last January for a probation violation. However, he was released on March 20th. If you have any information on Gurley's current location, you are asked to contact local law enforcement. There is new name in the running to be the long-term replacement for the District 4 commissioner. Walker Wilson is now pre-filed to run for that seat in November, joining fellow Republicans Ashley Hoffberger and Buck Mitchell, along with Democrat candidate Ron Helms, after Governor Ron DeSantis appointed Robert Bender to take over as the Escambia Supervisor of Elections. Both Wilson and Mitchell applied to be the temporary appointment, but so far, the governor hasn't named anybody to the job. Wilson is currently the executive director of the Pensacola Downtown Improvement Board. The Pensacola Blue Wahoos are back this week. Now, opening day isn't until Friday, but the Wahoos are playing a two-game exhibition series against the Monterey Sultans from the Mexican League, and those games are tonight and tomorrow night.
Spring training's a long grind, and to get up here for some exhibition games, I don't think we're really looking at it as an exhibition game. You know, we're going to be underneath the lights. There's going to be fans and a lot of excitement, butterflies. It's going to have an opening day feel.
That is manager Kevin Randall. And during the series, the Wahoos embracing their Mexican identity, playing as the Poke to Poke. Tickets for both of those games again tonight and tomorrow available at the Blue Wahoos team website. And the official season opening game will be Friday night against the Mississippi Braves. Well, Florida drivers getting another break on tolls this year. Governor DeSantis announcing that he's implementing the toll relief program for the second straight year.
All you do is you just get the bill, you see it deducted. So, you know, maybe you save $50, maybe you save $100. It depends on how much you're doing.
And that program running through March 2025, it'll cut toll rates in half by applying a toll credit to anybody who goes through at least 35 tolls in a month. The governor says he's allocated $450 million for that program this year. And voters will get a chance to possibly change the state's drug laws. The Florida Supreme Court announcing yesterday they will also be allowing a recreational marijuana amendment in November on the ballot. Amendment 3 would allow any company that grows and sells marijuana for medicinal use to sell to anybody 21 or over. That amendment would also legalize marijuana possession for personal use. That would require a 60% supermajority in order to pass. It's 7:35 right now at News Radio. Jake's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
Okay, we still have our slowdown on I-10 westbound coming out of Milton at the Blackwater River Bridge. We have some road construction this morning. It's got the left lane closed. Once you get toward Ward Basin Road, you're going to start seeing some slowdown before that intersection. The front gate NES is backed up to Sunset, and we're seeing our normal morning slowdowns, Highway 98 eastbound getting out of Navarre and then getting into Windhaven Beach as well, Highway 98 westbound in Tiger Point, and Highway 29 south through Inslee, just seeing our normal morning slowdowns there. Otherwise, around town, we're looking pretty good. If you see anything out there on the roadway slowing you down, let us know about it. Call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
We will have some patchy fog as you go through the morning hours. Temperatures warming up quickly as you head into the afternoon, highs near 80 degrees. Showers and thunderstorms move in as you go into the evening hours. A few storms could be strong under a slight risk of severe weather. As you go into Wednesday morning, storms start to clear out. Going into Wednesday, temperatures will be starting to cool off with a nice northerly wind. Temperatures on Wednesday near 70 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now we've got 72 and cloudy in Pensacola, 70 in Gulf Breeze, 72 in Milton. Your next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. A federal judge has approved 3M's more than $10 billion settlement with drinking water suppliers over contamination from so-called forever chemicals. Payments will begin in the third quarter and last through 2036 to help water companies with remediation as well as testing for PFAS in drinking water. The amount paid out will range between $10.5 to $12.5 billion. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper has announced enrollment in the state's new Medicaid coverage for low-income adults has surpassed 400,000 members in the program's first 4 months. The full health benefits coverage for some adults between the ages of 19 and 64 who earn too much to qualify for traditional Medicaid began on December 1st. Since then, North Carolina has enrolled an average of more than 1,000 people per day. Futures are moderately lower. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials dropped 115. That's Your Money Now.
When Pete Salvato at Only Choice Healthcare talks to people about health insurance, they tell him they worry about having quality health insurance and their finances. Pete knows he will help with both. People are paying huge deductibles and premiums with Obamacare, but you can get a health plan with exclusive benefits and features. There's no deadlines. Enroll anytime. Only Choice Healthcare offers freedom of choice on your medical providers and a zero deductible on all outpatient coverages, including surgery. If you're under 65 and in decent health, protect yourself and family. Call Pete and save 30 to 60% with better coverage. This is the best non-Obamacare plan available. Call Only Choice Healthcare at 352-683-3923. That's 352-683-3923. Or go to onlychoicehealthcare.com. It's the only choice. Onlychoicehealthcare.com. A quality plan managed and chosen by you, not the government.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be talking about Mother's Day, Beer Fest, Jackson's Spring Menu, and other fun things you won't want to miss. That's all tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 7:40 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We've got Sheriff Chip Simmons here in studio with us. This is Scammy Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back. It's always good to have you, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm great. You had a search, a warrant service on Sturbridge Place. It was kind of a, I guess they call it a raid. Found a lot of stuff as a result of this, yeah?
You can call them a raid if you want to. We call them search warrants. But anyway, the SWAT team helped our narcotics unit out. They did a search warrant, and we got, I'll read it off here. Let's see here, 45 grams of fentanyl. Which I don't know, do the math, but just a little bit of fentanyl is deadly.
That's a
45
lot,
grams,
yeah.
Quite a bit for that. Certainly trafficking amounts. 337 grams of methamphetamine, 18 grams of MDMA, which is another form of amphetamine, and then two handguns. So we arrested Michael Watts, trafficking in fentanyl, trafficking in methamphetamine, and trafficking in MDMA. For those who are listening, trafficking is that higher charge that you know, there's possession, and then there's possession with intent to distribute, which is sales. And then there is trafficking. That these are the individuals, these mid-level players that obviously can ruin a neighborhood. So he is. There's a picture of it on our Facebook page. Couple guns. Again, we talk a lot about guns and drugs. They seem to want to mix them, and they don't mix well. So good to have him off street.
For the longest time, fentanyl was the way I had understood it was that fentanyl was a mix-in to other drugs. That it would, you know, you would have maybe your marijuana would be laced with it, or your cocaine, or your heroin, or something else, that it would be always into something else. Is that true? That's what it was? And is that still true, or is it now being marketed as a standalone product?
No, I think it's still true. Again, you could talk to a number of different people in a number of different places, and based on what they've seen recently, they're saying, oh, this is what we're seeing. And so I'll tell you what we're seeing is historically and right now, we see that the fentanyl is stuff that they mix. It's so potent. They mix a little bit of that with some of the other stuff, and then you know people get this some sort of euphoria, which I'll never try. But that's what fentanyl is doing now. But it's so deadly because again, I don't think that people intentionally add fentanyl to it, and you know, just so that someone will potentially die from it. I just think that they don't know how much they're putting in. These aren't. You know, this is
pharmacists.
Not in a lab, yeah. You know, environment. This is just the people that are selling drugs. These are losers that are selling drugs, and they don't care about people's health. They don't care about their own health. They don't care about other people's health. And so they're adding this fentanyl to people, and we're doing, sometimes 2 to 3 overdoses a day because of it.
Is it, we were talking about this a little bit yesterday. We were talking about the question of, do you pick up coins off of the street or whatever, a sidewalk? And Jake had made the comment that he would be worried about, or somebody had made the comment that they'd be worried about fentanyl, you know, a drug being on there because any small amount. And is it by skin contact with it that it's dangerous? Do you have to inhale it? What is it about it that makes it dangerous? And I mean, I thought it was contact even, that's why gloves, for example, can be so valuable to law enforcement officers.
Yeah, we have precautions, universal mm-hmm. precautions that we use. I know certainly it's in inhale. If you inhale it, you can get that that exposure to it. I think you can get it by touching your the fingers as well. But you know, it's possible that the people that are experts in this field say you just don't put on your fingers so that when you wipe your mouth or
when
rub your eyes, it might
mouth,
be
yeah.
something to you. So
during COVID, we
exactly.
put our fingers by our mouths all the time.
Well, yeah. There's videos of people how often they touch your face,
right.
And you know, face touches 20 times a minute or something crazy
right.
like that.
You also had a kind of an odd incident, a fight at the Boys and Girls Club on H Street. And when you got there, somebody fought with you, right?
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. So it is Easter, and the Boys and Girls Club, I don't know who organized. I'm still trying to figure this out. They had a huge crowd, several hundred youths and some adults that gathered around the Boys and Girls Club, which is really right across the street from the sheriff's office, right mm-hmm. there on Leonard Street. We weren't aware of this party, and we're trying to figure out how this happened and who organized it, but it was a large crowd. So we get a call that there's a fight and someone's getting injured. Mm-hmm. So our deputy, the initial deputy that shows up there, he does what a brave deputy would do. They go to the location, they even amongst the crowd, and they don't wait for backup. They go to try to help somebody. And so the deputy identifies a female that had thrown a punch at someone.
Okay.
So he grabs her and he's trying to detain her.
In this group of hundreds of
people. Hundreds of people.
Okay.
And then as he's trying to grab her, she's resisting. Her mother, who is Shanette Robinson, is trying to pull her away from the deputy.
Okay.
Which is a crime, by the way. That's the first crime that was committed. But there's so many people around. He doesn't have any backup at this point. They're still on the way, obviously. And then as he's trying to get her cuffed, Shanette Robinson, in a bit of a punk move, attacks him from behind.
This
starts
is the
striking
mom
him,
who was initially
the mother,
trying to pull
who was initially,
the daughter right, away. Okay.
That's correct. So, and then another deputy
attacks him,
shows
you said
up.
Punched him from behind?
Punched him from behind, yeah. Just reaches around and attacks him from behind. As he's leaning over, trying to detain
the daughter. Okay.
And again, a 100% punk move on her part. And so that, in the midst of all the crowd, another deputy shows up there, and someone hits him with a cinder block, a piece of a cinder block in the back of the head. They throw it again on him. The whole crowd's unruly. Anyway, so we don't make an arrest at the time because a lot of things going on. So we have a warrant for the mama, Shanette Robinson. We put her picture up on our social media platforms, and we're trying to pick her up. She's got a warrant with no bond for battery on law enforcement officer for her activity. And we also should have her on the billboards now, too. I want people to
I'm
know that we're not going to tolerate this.
Yeah, I'm worried about the cinder block, too. I mean, that's a very serious
both deputies were
battery.
Injured. Both of them will be okay.
Okay.
But again, you never know. You throw a piece of a brick or a rock.
Yeah.
In this case, it was a cinder block and hit someone in the head. That could end up.
And do we know who that is or have any video?
We have a lot of video.
Okay.
We have a warrant right now for Ms. Robinson, and then other people are expected to be charged as well for this entire melee. At the same time, we're dealing with all this. Pensacola Police Department's there with us because it's close to the city-county line. We hear a single gunshot, or the officers hear a single gunshot. They go over there to find there's a 16-year-old male that has a gunshot wound to the inner thigh area. And reports are from the people that were around there that he shot himself by accident.
Okay.
Apparently, my thought is that he would have a gun in his waistband of some sort, and he ended up shooting himself, which happens a lot, by the way. A lot. A lot more than you think.
The people who shouldn't have guns and carry them irresponsibly then also wind up with hurting themselves with guns because they're not particularly skilled at the safety and the use of a gun?
Yeah, apparently you can't be cool enough on your own. You've got to think that you're cool enough to have this gun with you, and then you got to show it to somebody, because if you don't show it to somebody, you're not cool enough. So,
and there's nothing better than taking a loaded gun out that's ready to fire and showing it to people.
Yeah, look how bad I am.
Yeah,
and then I'll just
good.
Tuck it in my pants like they do in the movies, and bam, you get shot.
Because things never get caught when you're putting them not in a proper holster.
Well,
or,
they have no idea what they're doing. Yeah. They just think it's a cool thing to do. So anyways, during all this thing was going on. That's why these people were able to get away temporarily.
Yeah.
They will not get away for very long. But there was a report that officer involved shooting and all this. This is how rumors get started. Mm-hmm. And now you know, obviously the rest of the story of what took place. So we have a warrant for Shanette Robinson. And then we're going to have some warrants for some other people that are involved in this whole situation.
And I'm assuming that not just body cam video, but as is often the case in these kinds of situations, lots of people had their phones out videoing all kinds of things. So there's lots of information to work with. Is that fair?
That is more than fair. Yes.
It seems like it's always the case. Okay. We're talking to Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Hang on for just a second, Sheriff. Let's get Jake in here with traffic on the fives.
Okay, we're seeing some slowdown on I-10 westbound coming out of Milton. This is going to be at the Blackwater River Bridge. We've got some road construction going on. The left lane is closed there. It got traffic backed up past Ward Basin Road. We're seeing our normal morning slowdowns on Highway 98 eastbound, getting out of Navarre, starting around the Walmart, and stretching all the way up to the McDonald's at Parrish Boulevard. Highway 98 westbound starting in Tiger Point, stretching up through the Live Oaks Preserve. We're seeing our normal morning slowdown there. And Highway 29 is really slow. Going south through Inslee, starting just after you pass East Roberts Road, and stretching up to 9 Mile. So if you see anything else out there on the roadway slowing you down, let us know on our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. Back to Sheriff Chip Simmons. I did want to get a note of clarification. Someone texted in saying the Boys and Girls Club was not involved. The group had an unpermitted event at the park by the Boys and Girls Club, not affiliated with the Boys and Girls Club. Can you address that? Do you know anything about that?
Well, I'm in contact with the people that run the Boys and Girls Club, and apparently none of it was sanctioned, from what I understand. There were no permits at all.
Okay.
But they had a Easter egg hunt early that afternoon, and we're trying to determine whether that's what attracted the crowd, which means it would be by the community center that was there. There's a Boys and Girls Club, and then there's a community center right next to it. They kind of share a building.
Okay.
And we're trying to figure out exactly who gave them permission, because I understand that the bathrooms may have been open. So someone either left the bathrooms open or allowed them to use the facility. But either way, it's got to be stopped. We can't have 600-700 people gathering around there, because invariably something's going to happen. Inevitably, something's going to happen.
We also, and I think this is kind of not a story, except for obviously it's a tragic, it's a sad one, but we had a human was found dead on the Ascend property in Cantonment, but no foul play was suspected?
That's correct.
Okay. Which happens more often than we talk about, because people, particularly people that are unhoused, you know, they die and you find them. And I don't know that that was this case, but that's something that's, it's rare, but it's not that rare.
That's true. And I don't know that people truly understand how many suicides we actually work. Mm-hmm. There are natural cause deaths from homeless population.
Sure.
And non-homeless population. And then there are just a high number of suicides that probably should be made more public.
Yeah, you know, it's this longstanding practice of not publicizing out of the fear of getting more of it, you know, normalizing it. But it's also, people don't realize just how pervasive a problem it is. I was in our neighborhood coming home one day, and you had three or four of your Tahoes out in front of a house in our neighborhood, and I stopped by, and it was a suicide. And I'm like, okay, well, I mean, there's nothing to report on here, but it's real life that is awful and terrible and burdens people and harms families and, I mean, all of that.
Yeah, we don't talk much about medical conditions, you know, publicly.
Right.
And so there's a lot of medical conditions that are attached to suicide, so sure. We just don't get into it.
Last one, and I think this is my favorite dumb criminal story of the week, just because it's one of those, okay, you had a guy allegedly driving a go-kart on US 29, and in the process of flipping off your deputies, wound up getting tased and fighting with you guys?
Yeah. You know, some people think that rules don't apply to them, and they think, I'll just do what I want to do. So you're riding a go-kart, and the deputy sees you, and it's like, you know what, you can't do that. That's dangerous to everyone. You can't do that. And people need to understand, we get calls on this type of stuff all the time. People riding four-wheelers, crazy. People riding motorcycles.
Kids they're riding in the street.
Exactly. And I'm not talking about just slow right in front of your house where parents are around. I'm talking about just driving crazy and reckless and just going through stop signs and everything else. In this case, the guy was riding, obviously, illegally on the main roadway.
You can't ride a go-kart on 29?
No, you cannot.
Even if you came from, you know, Sam's or whatever?
Yeah, no matter where you're coming from, you can't do that. You have to be proper tagged and registered.
You took the wrong turn off that loop.
Yeah, so anyways, we try to stop him, and he decides, oh, you know what, I'm going to be cool again, and I'm going to flip off the deputies, and deputies don't, you know, so what? We've been flipped off before.
That's allowed.
The first one.
The law protects you.
Yeah, you can do that. And it doesn't really hurt our feelings. I don't really care. So... but then we stop him, and he resists us, which I do care about, and then we end up having to tase him. So moral of the story is, you know, if you get stopped, if you got those blue lights in the back, just go and stop your car and show them a driver's license if you have one. If not, then, you know, deal with that. We can deal with that sort of thing. But one thing is, do not fight with the deputies. Do not resist the deputies. You're liable to get tased or punched in the mouth. That's just this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So stop.
You play stupid games, and you get stupid prizes, right? That's kind of the result.
Yeah, you know, it was, oh my gosh, you can't punch someone. Absolutely. If someone punches a deputy or swings at us, you can punch them back.
And I mean, being a law enforcement officer a lot of times involves fighting. You don't have to just take it.
It's not always pretty.
That's right. I wanted to ask you something else, but I just don't think we have enough time. Well, I will ask you briefly. It's not related to anything that's happening here locally, but as I know you know, the Supreme Court in Florida just approved an amendment on the ballot that's going to decriminalize personal possession amounts of marijuana if we pass it above 60%. And my thought about this is, my perception is that when medical marijuana came in, that dramatically changed law enforcement practice in the state, because you now had to be able to prove that you had probable cause that it was illegal marijuana, not just medical marijuana, in the car. And, for example, dogs that alert on marijuana had to be swapped out for dogs that didn't, because you had to know that it was heroin or something that was illegal.
Right.
And so that's really had to change practice for law enforcement. If this were to pass, given that we've already adapted to medical marijuana, how much of an impact would this be on your law enforcement practices?
Yeah, I think it's a good point. The initial impact was, again, it wasn't just marijuana. It was also hemp, and there were some other things that had smelled similar to that. And I think we've already made that adjustment. Again, we don't teach our dogs to train on marijuana mm-hmm. scent itself. So it's because it's been a couple of years now, we've already adjusted to that. While I would not, endorse this
right.
sort of thing, I do think that if it were to pass, and again, I'm a believer in the will of the people, and you vote on laws, we just enforce them.
Right.
I don't think it would be that big an impact on us with traffic stops because we've already made that adjustment. Now, will it be an impact on communities? Again, look at Denver and look at some of these communities that have it.
Right.
I do think that it will. So I would rather it not okay. pass. However, I don't know that it would be that big of an impact on the traffic stop portion of law enforcement.
Good. And that was my question. So I appreciate that clarification. I still think a lot of people don't even realize that took place, that you guys had to dramatically adjust how you do policing with the canines because now you couldn't tell from the outside of the car whether it was medical marijuana or illegal marijuana, but you've adjusted to that now, which is the good news.
Right. Well, we have run dogs around cars a lot, and we have to go to court and, mm-hmm. and, that we have to convince a judge or a jury that, this is why we thought there was illegal drugs in that car. And because you can carry medicinal marijuana now and some hemp versions, then that in itself is not a good enough reason.
Doesn't give you probable cause.
Right.
Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, sir, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
756 News Radio 92.3, Jake's got traffic for us.
Okay, our slowdown this morning is going to be I-10 westbound coming out of Milton. This is going to be starting at Highway 87, stretching all the way up to the Blackwater Bridge. We have some construction going on that's got the left lane closed, so that's really causing some backup this morning. Also, from Highway 87 on Highway 90 going into Milton, just got a call on our traffic tip line, and looking at the map here, that is starting to slow down a lot as well, a lot more than normal because people are jumping onto Highway 90 trying to get around that way instead of sitting on I-10 westbound. Other than that, we're looking okay. We're seeing our normal morning slowdowns on Highway 98 through Tiger Point westbound and eastbound going into Windhaven Beach getting out of Navarre. And Highway 29 south through Inslee, seeing our normal morning slowdown there. That's going to be starting just after you pass East Roberts Road and stretching up to 9 Mile. If you see anything else out there on the roadways slowing you down, you can always call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
This is Pastor Carl Gallops of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church in Milton, Florida. Are you and your family looking for a church that when Sunday morning rolls around, you can say, oh good, it's time to go to church? Well, let me invite you to consider worshiping with us at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church, where multiplied hundreds of people say these very words every Sunday. We are doctrinally sound, featuring the exaltation of Jesus Christ and the clear contextual preaching of the Bible. And the Bible is made relevant and exciting. You're convicted, challenged, encouraged, and uplifted at the same time. We have premier youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, Bible studies, and missions outreach. We have a team of pastoral counselors offering guidance for your Christian and family life. You can find out everything you'd want to know about us on our huge and highly interactive website at hickoryhammockbaptist.org. Let me give you an open invitation to worship at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church this Sunday morning. And then the next Sunday, you'll say, oh good, it's time to go to church. I kid you not. Regular members and even first-time guests say it every single Sunday.
Physical activity can make your life better. Spring is a great time to begin reaching your movement goals. The Florida Department of Health in Santa Rosa County is celebrating National Minority Health Month and promoting breastfeeding for all babies by holding the All Moms, All Babies 1 Mile Color Walk or Run on April 13th. This free family fun event will be held at the Baghdad Mills Site Park beginning at 10 a.m. Call 850-983-5250 to pre-register or for more information, visit health.gov/moveyourway for tips on how to get active.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Gulf Coast VA will host a free PACT Act enrollment benefits event Saturday morning beginning at 8 at the Pensacola VA Clinic. State and local political representatives and vet-owned businesses will be there. The United Way is celebrating 100 years. Join them for their Glitz and Gallop Kentucky Derby Gallop.
7:59 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. What I must say is one of the oddest stories in Florida, just in terms of laws that get signed into existence. Governor DeSantis signed the giant wine jug law. You can now buy 9, 12, and 15-liter jugs of wine That's a 4-gallon jug of wine, legal in Florida.
Local talk
finally
in the morning, 5 to 9
Cabernet
with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.